you're the first Commander product developer we've ever had on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah. So say something fun about Deep Glow Skate.
Deep Glow Skate is a card that I made because we needed another card in the set. And that's sounds simple, but it's pretty common that we'll have, you know, a card or two in the set that as we go through the process aren't working. And then sometimes we have easy replacements there. In this case, we didn't have any replacements that I thought fit in that spot in that deck very well. I knew it was a blue rare in the Atraxa deck. And so, you know, my team's busy with a bunch of tasks that I've given them. It kind of falls on me to whip something up.
Okay. So let's do this. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am ready. Da da da.
All right. So here we go. 3, 2, 1. I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
And I'm Sean Watson.
And we are Commander In. Now we play some spiffy music.
Spiffy?
Mandarin.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to put a spotlight on community issues, but never, ever talk about three banned topics. Since we don't need to say hip-hop, it's religion, politics, and Hearthstone. If you like what you hear and want to support the show, go to patreon.com/commanderandmtg and donate to us. Patreon allows you to give back to the creators you appreciate. We are also working on a few ways to give back to our patrons through exclusive offers and gifts. But if you donate a buck a show, it helps immensely. And if you donate $10 per show, you get access to all of the hosts in our exclusive Facebook chat group. Patroni there also get to contribute to show plans, which you'll find out about a little bit later this episode. And they get sneak peeks and exclusive content, usually from Nate.
Yep.
What's some of the exclusive content you've given them, Nate?
I made a bunch of songs. They're all up on YouTube in their own playlist, and you can go through them all.
Yep. But the Patroni usually hear them first, don't they?
Sure.
Yeah. You can also check us out on YouTube, just like Nate just mentioned.
And smooth.
So, yeah, that was a great segue. So this week, though, we have an absolutely wonderful show lined up for all of you. And thanks for coming to hang out with us. We're going to talk about Commander 2016. Yes, that's the topic of the season. And to do that, we brought on an expert, none other than the lead developer for Commander 2016. He's also the bearer of the best beard in the pit, Ben Hayes. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
You know, some of our listeners are fairly new to Magic and Commander, believe it or not. Can you introduce yourself so that our listeners know something about you and the Magic set you've made?
Yeah, certainly. So, as you said, my name's Ben Hayes. I live in Washington State, where Wizards of the Coast is, where pretty much all the people who work there live. I've been at Wizards for coming up on 4 years now, and before I was at Wizards, I worked on video games back in New York City, and played Magic my whole life, played, you know, casually with friends, played at FNM, played on Magic Online, played on the Pro Tour, kind of have done Magic in a lot of the different ways that you can.
Hmm.
And just still, even after almost 4 years, super excited to be working on the game and making new cards and making new sets.
I didn't realize you were working on video games in New York, but New York is where you qualified for the Pro Tour, right?
Yeah. Well, from my couch in New York on Magic Online.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty neat. And the neat thing about that is you and your buddy both qualified from the same laptop on the same couch.
Yeah, And funny thing, he actually also started working at Wizards a couple years ago, and he was on the development team for Commander 2016.
Oh, awesome.
He was the person in charge of the Yidris deck.
Oh.
Ooh, spicy meatball that deck is.
Yeah, that's Nate's current favorite, I think.
Yeah, that was a really challenging one to get right, because the chaotic nature of it could very easily lead to the games not being very fun for the whole table.
Yeah.
And so we had to be really careful and strategic with how we built that deck to make it feel like it was chaotic, but everyone was still having fun.
Hmm.
Instead of just, oh, my hand's gone again, and now I have a new hand, and I make a plan, and now everyone's hand's gone, and now they have to make up new plans, like not being too disruptive of the flow of the game.
Hmm. As an aside, your prodigious beard is rubbing against your microphone.
Oh.
That or your hand. If you're rubbing your chin, you can hear it scratching.
Nope. I think my mic was just too close.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have the same problem.
I don't.
We beardos got to stick together. Sean, as a Briton, as we all know, he barely has a chin, let alone a beard that could go on the chin.
You. I'll have you now. I'll have my new butler, Fordsworth, whip you.
Indeed. Indeed. Okay. Now, Ben, you've also, you've led a design for the Modern Event Deck, right? And then you've also been the lead developer for a number of different products in the last year or two.
Yeah, so early on when I got to Wizards, I worked mostly on the supplemental products, like the intro packs, the pre-release kits, all sort of things that had to be designed and put together but weren't directly the main sets. The first like larger project that I was the lead on was the Modern Event Deck, and I took both the lead design and lead development roles, which was, exploring what could that deck be, what would be viable to produce as an event deck, and then going into the iteration of playtesting it and figuring out, you know, what the exact right cards to have in it were. Then I also was on a bunch of design teams, Eldritch Moon, Kaladesh, Amonkhet, and a lot of development teams, starting with Fate Reforged, Battle for Zendikar, Kaladesh again. I led the last Commander 2015 and this Commander and Conspiracy Take the Crown, and coming out in January, Aether Revolt also. Mm. So it's been a busy couple years for me.
What was your favorite card on Amonkhet?
My favorite card on Amonkhet? Probably Island.
Ah, Island's Island. Confirmed.
Yeah.
That's a powerful card. It's been reprinted. Oh my god, I didn't think they'd ever do it.
This is the first Amonkhet preview card, Island, actually.
Wow. It's a commander and exclusive.
It's an exclusive.
Nate, I want to hear the song.
How do you pronounce Island? All right. Hey, do you want to, before we go into our news, do you want to talk about the difference between designing and developing sets?
Sure. I love talking about that. I actually, a couple years ago at PAX, talked a lot about this topic in a sort of informational panel that we put on. So design and development do different things, but they are very similar. I mean, at the end of the day, they're both game design, and they're both trying to produce a Magic product that is as fun as it can be for as many people as possible. The differences are design comes earlier in the process and is working and focusing more on getting the product to feel the right way when you play it, getting the themes to a place that we think is exciting and resonant, and sort of lining up the vision of how everything is going to come together and what we want to make. It's kind of like making a big blueprint, but doing a lot of playing and shifting around to get that blueprint into the right place. And then development is taking the blueprint and the examples that design has given and building it into a card set or into the final decks or the final products and trying to execute on that vision. So, for example, on Commander 2016, you know, Ethan's team did things like determine that we were going to be a four-color Commander product. And Ethan's team handed off the idea of partners to my team as a way to execute on that, that they felt worked really well with the product. And Ethan's team worked out what the themes of the deck were, you know, like an aggressive deck, an artifact deck. And the way they came to those was doing more of thought experiments about what are these four colors' identities and how do we express that. So all that kind of stuff was handed off to me from Ethan's team. My team played the decks a lot, changed what cards were in them, changed the new cards to fit the decks better, to transition better into overall commander play, and just sort of tuning everything and executing on that vision that was handed off to us.
Hmm. And was it someone on your team who kind of spotted? Ethan mentioned that at the handoff, it was sort of returned to him and said, like, this doesn't do what you're looking to do. Is it someone on your team who spotted that?
Yeah, that was me, and I can go into a little more detail about that. When it was handed off to me, it was a little bit of an unusual situation where typically it's just handed off and then the development team just starts working on the product and we go from there. When it was handed off to me, I felt like Ethan's team had done a really good job figuring out really broadly what they wanted. And I thought partner was a really good idea, but I was worried about my team's ability to execute because there hadn't been a lot of work done yet on what the themes of the individual decks were. And I was really worried that just seeing four different mana symbols, four colors, we kind of found that four colors doesn't mean anything to anyone. Blue and white and black and green, you can show someone that and everyone has a different answer for what that means. Or if you show someone red, or if you show someone red-green, people know what that means. And so the reason I kicked it back to Ethan is because I felt like we were missing identities, strategies that we could attach to those four color combinations. And I just thought his team was better suited to do that than my team.
Hmm. Now that's a pretty big call because it means going beyond the schedule, right?
Sort of. I mean, we've been doing this all for a long time, so we can, you know, if it was the first Commander product we were ever doing, that might have been a really big ordeal. But now that this is the, I don't even know, fifth or sixth, one of those two under our belt, we're able to handle hiccups like that where, you know, we're all trying to produce the best product, and so we understand that not everything's going to go smoothly every time. So it was a big ask, but it was something that we're totally set up to handle.
Yeah. Well, it worked. Right? That extra time and that extra love produced a fantastic set, not just a good one, right? This is a fantastic set. Our deck, we have a deck testing group, and we've actually added a couple of people even since Commander 2016 came out. And it's being really well received. A couple of them lit, well, frankly, the hosts on fire, too. So, way to go. That was really, really good. I'm glad personally, and of course, on, you know, the community's glad, that you took the time to get this one right. It's so evocative now. I think you captured those four color combinations really well.
Yeah, it was a really, I mean, I won't lie, it was a really hard product to make. I had the experience of working on Commander 2015, where experience counters were handed off to me as something we were just going to run with, and they changed a little, but they were largely the same form throughout, you know, two-color decks, where the identity is so much more solidified already in those two colors. And then we come to 2016, and I think Ethan and I both were a little bit taken off guard by how hard it ended up being. I mean, really rewarding, and both of us, you know, looking back on it, are really glad we did it and are really proud of the decks, but it was harder than either of us realized it would be.
Yeah, Ethan echoed that sentiment on our show last week. He said it was the hardest thing he's ever designed.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's hard for me to say it was the hardest thing I've ever developed, because while it was really challenging, not interfacing with Standard brings that level of difficulty to a different place. From the development side. I mean, from the design side, whether you're making a Standard booster release or a Commander product, your goals are more the same as far as you're trying to design this really rich experience. But when you're developing and you're needing to balance all of these things, even just saying Commander doesn't touch Standard, it really brings down the level of difficulty. So while it was way more difficult than Commander 2015 for me, it was way easier than Aether Revolt. Although, to be fair, I had about 3 or 4 times as much time on Aether Revolt.
And what was your favorite Aether Revolt card?
Still Island.
Wow.
You're really pushing for a lot of exclusives.
Yeah, you have it here, folks. You have it here first. An Island reprint in both sets.
Wow.
Do you think the meta is going to be glutted with Islands as a result of being reprinted in both sets?
Maybe, but I'll also, you know, just for you guys.
Yeah, just for us.
Mountain is also in there.
Oh, my God.
Drop the mic.
So.
Blue-red is a thing.
Might be okay.
Holy.
Wow, sounds like blue-red's going to be dominating the meta and Standard for the next 2 years. So we're going to go a lot deeper into Commander 2016, or at least as much as time allows. But first, we have a little bit of news. Happy birthday, Nate!
Yay!
Yay!
Happy birthday to you, etc.
We are recording. That was, you know what? Maybe we should freestyle rap a happy birthday song for Nate.
No.
Instead, for Nate, for his birthday, I've bought him this small vial of innocent-looking black oil that just drink at your own leisure, Nate. It won't do anything bad to you.
I think he's going to be smashing it.
No, drink it.
So, Nate, you're recording on your birthday. This is, I guess, our gift to you. And thanks for doing it. We had some massive schedule hijinks to make this work, and here you are. I'm guessing that you are only in the midst of your loss of sobriety.
No, it's the other way around.
He sobers up one day. Yeah. Yeah,
he's in the midst of sobering up.
No, I quit alcohol and nicotine, and I'm on day 3.
Oh my God.
Ooh. My God.
Jeez.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, really. I guess it's a good thing that you were already on Commander's Brew this week.
Oh yeah, yeah. I did that too.
Yeah. Episode 68.
Oh. Was it talking to a couple of nice Canadians that sobered you up?
stuff happens.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And not that we're going to talk about it, but you did the recording on election night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. But the real birthday present is that Commander 2016 was just released.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo! And I think that's Ben's personal gift to you.
Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome.
And related to that, we have this awesome contest that we're going to talk about at the end of the show. We have gotten one of each deck. Actually, we have gotten two of each deck, but one of each deck. The outside will be signed by both Ethan and Ben, and we're going to give those decks away. And then we have an entire set of Commander 2016 to give away as one prize. It'll be the grand prize. And again, Ethan and Ben have signed all of those. Thank you, Ben. And of course, thanks to Ethan and to Kayla for helping make that happen. So if you can extend that to them, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, my pleasure.
It's important to note that anyone is going to be able to enter, and we're going to pay for shipping anywhere in the world. Let's get to what we've been playing or playtesting, and we'll do our best to keep this brief because we want to get to the meat of the sandwich. This is kind of the lettuce. Nate, what have you been playtesting?
Like I talked about on Commander's Brew, I brewed a Yidris deck, and I've also been working on some Bruce Tarl combinations.
Ooh.
I played one of them earlier. It kicked me in the teeth quickly. It was painful and to the point.
Yep, he's going to be popular, I think. Did you design Bruce Tarl, Ben?
I might have. You know, the partners are all kind of, they're a little bit of a blur for me because there's so many of them and we iterated on them so much that, like, some of them I just typed up and some of them I went back and forth with other people and some of them people sent me in the emails with to fill specific needs we had. So when there's 15 and they're all constantly moving, there's no way I can remember.
Huh.
Right.
But I was in charge of the Brea deck, which is the deck Bruce Tarl is in. So that makes it a little more likely that I designed it if we're, you know, gambling on it.
Okay. Yeah, I was just idly wondering if that was the case.
Yeah.
Me too.
We'll have a question a little bit later about partner too, because we understand you were instrumental in the numbers of partners put in the set. But Sean, what have you been brewing, Sean? I don't even want to ask, actually. I think I know.
I decided to go full nastiness and I've been building a Traxxer Infect, because who wants friends, eh? Mostly inspired by trying to tutor up and cast Icarats and then keep my commander on the table for a further 9 turns. But it's also got like 10 planeswalkers in it as well, plus, you know, doubling season and the fish. So it could just go nuts from that. And I lost playing with it for the first time the other day in the most hilarious fashion ever, which was I just ultimated the Bant Tamiyo. Emptied my hand in my next turn, was about to Sphinx's Revelation for like 15. And then I was playing against my butler, Fordsworth, and he cast an Emrakul and Stronic resonated the trigger, so took my next 2 turns. Unfortunately, I drew an Inexorable Tide and had all my spells are free to cast, aren't they? So, yeah, I poisoned myself with my own Icarats and accidentally proliferated myself to death. So, whoops, I guess. And I'm trying to build Brea as well because greenless is the future. But I've not quite cracked that nut yet without the need of going infinite with mana, and I don't want to do that, so I'm trying to find a control build with that doesn't require infinite loops.
Nice. I drew Brea for my paper league, and of course I'm brewing Saskia and working on Saskia because she is the non-blue commander, and we'll be talking about each of those pretty extensively, I think, because it's just so incredible to talk about this set, and we'll be talking about each of those and more on upcoming episodes of Commanderian, as opposed to just Commander's Brew. Now, Ben, we are always very interested in what our guests have been playtesting, and you know we've learned a lot of secret desires and things that, you know, people are talking about and are brewing sort of behind the scenes. So let's maybe talk a little bit about the Future League. What have you been playtesting there?
Can I keep this Island Mountain joke going?
Yep, or, please do.
You know, obviously can't talk about that, but but yeah, I do play in it still. I mean, it's hard to find the time sometimes when you're leading projects and you're working on a lot more aspects of the set, like coordinating with the creative team to get art for all your cards and concepts and talking to editing to find time to still play test, but I try to get around to it when I can.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So like for Commander 2016, were you like, I don't know, just make them look like the Iron Sheik?
No, Commander 2016, I actually had a lot of... I don't know if I'd say I had a lot of impact, but I had a lot of conversations, and I was more hands-on with the creative there because we really wanted to, especially with Partner... So there were multiple factors. With Partner, we wanted to show multiple characters from the same world so that you could partner together two characters from the same plane. And then the four color cards, you know, so much was riding on them as the identity, the commander of those colors, that we really hammered on those and worked more collaboratively to try to get some holistic ideas that where the design matched the character and the world and the flavor. So I was more, I would definitely say I was more hands-on with our creative team than I was on some other projects.
Hmm. Did you decide to make Atraxa Phyrexian?
No, I that wasn't my call, but you know, I believe that was probably Kelly Diggs, who was the creative member on this, and you know, coming over with Proliferate, and then you know, sort of feeding into the story of Ura Brask being the outsider praetor, and so this one being non-red, it all just sort of added up and worked really well.
Beautiful.
Yeah, hmm. I was super happy with that idea that he came up with, or someone on his team.
Was he the creative lead for C16?
Yeah, in the sense of being the person who would determine that kind of stuff. There are a lot of creative people who worked on it.
Right. Now you chose, I guess since we've been talking about it so much, do you guys mind if we hop onto the partner topic for a minute?
No, it's good for me.
So Partner, of course, is one of the mechanics of Commander 2016, and it basically says, no, it doesn't basically say, it says this commander can, you can have two commanders if both of them have Partner. Now, Ethan said that you selected 15 partners for the entire set. Why did you choose 15, and why did you choose 5 allied color and then 10 enemy-colored partners?
So the way the product was handed off, it was handed off with 10, which makes a lot of sense. You have 5 decks. You need 2 partners to play with Partner. 5 times 2 is 10. It was early on to midway through the development process that I had this idea, sort of came from me, sort of came from... We have people who are in more advisor-style roles in R&D also, who've seen a lot of products go through and consult with the people who are leading teams and try to, you know, give them good ideas.
Right.
And one of the people who was very interested in pursuing the idea of 15 partners was one of these people in this advisor role. His official title is sort of a product architect named Mark Globus. And the idea that he and I were kicking around was, well, Partner is just so cool, and we think people are going to love it. And like, what will people love about Partner? And so we started listing that and trying to really maximize that. And obviously, having 2 cards in the command zone, having 2 commanders getting to do that is awesome. But what we were consistently hearing from people was it was the idea of so many possibilities and the opportunity to mix and match anything and create this sort of this all these tons of combinations. And so we were saying, well, if every deck has 2 partners, in order to experience the thing that everyone is telling us is the awesome thing about Partner, someone would have to buy 2 different decks. And that's a big commitment. And so we came to the idea, well, what if each deck had 3 partners? So that even if you just buy 1 deck, you can play it with, you know, Bruce Tarl and Silas Wren. And then if you play again, you can play it with Silas Wren and Akiri. and you can get a little bit of that experience of choosing to mix and match. And then if you like that, you can think about buying a second deck, which will get you 6 partners, and then that very quickly gets to math that I can't do in my head.
You can be like me and buy 2 copies of each deck.
Nate will have to check us as our resident maths expert, but if partner 1 there are 15 choices and partner 2 there are 14 choices, that leaves us with
105
possible partner combinations.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where 15 partners came from. It was looking at partner, looking at what people were saying they loved about partner, and then trying to maximize that and really deliver on that. And we just felt like you should be able to get this experience of mixing and matching from just buying one deck.
It feels awesome. And I really hope, I said this to Ethan as well, that we see more partners in future releases, either as 3 colors or more allied. But it just feels like in this particular crop of Commander Seal product, like the horizon of what you can do with the format has sort of been blown open slightly by this mechanic.
Yeah, I mean, with partner and with any of the mechanics that we put in Commander products, if people like them, we'll do them again. I mean, it's the place where we get to make something specifically for that audience. And, you know, we want to make things that people like. So anytime something's a big hit, we're always looking for that and looking for things that are going to sort of transcend that oh, this was part of one set, into, oh, this is part of the format. And I didn't answer the enemy color versus ally color question, so I will just real quick. We knew we wanted 15, and the reason we weighted them towards enemy instead of ally was purely that there are, just in the history of Magic, there have been less enemy color legends printed. And so we felt like giving the nod to enemy would do a little bit to even that out.
Yeah. Now, that question originally came from listener Kyle Carson. Nate, he had a second part to it, didn't he?
Kyle Carson asks, the individual partners seem a bit weak. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, so I'll go into a little bit of backstory about this. We tried a lot of small variations on partner that had various drawbacks. For example, we tried, you can have 2 commanders if both have partner. If you do, each one costs 1 additional mana to cast. Things like that, where we would directly offset the upside of getting to have 2 commanders, basically getting to start with 9 cards in your hand instead of 8, and 2 cards that you can continually recast throughout the game, which is a huge upside. We tried offsetting that power by making the ability partner weaker. And what we found was just every time we did that, we all just kind of had that sort of dirty feeling of like, oh, we took something that was really cool and made it something that you have to, we made it a choice that you have to opt into that you feel a little bit bad for doing. And it wasn't this just all upside awesome thing anymore. But the flip side is, you know, the other side of that coin is we do have to account for the fact that having 2 commanders is so much more powerful than having 1, that if you look at a partner commander, legendary creature, and you look at a legendary creature without partner, the one without partner should be a little stronger. And that's just how we chose to balance that. There are other ways we talked about balancing that, and just all of them came off as too unappealing.
Are you guys finding that the partners you're brewing with are like, one is kind of a main commander and the other is sort of a support commander that you bring out in order to either facilitate the primary strategy or to underscore it, to support it?
Yeah, so there's some of that going on, definitely. I mean, when you're making 15 legends, you kind of want to hit a lot of the map to give yourself enough room to make all these cards and make them feel different than each other. So that sometimes goes on. It just kind of depends on which deck you're talking about. I can think of, like, Bruce Tarle, going back to that as an example, is a really good sort of card if you set it up right. If you have a creature that really heavily benefits from Double Strike and Lifelink on the table already when you cast it. So you're naturally going to want to partner Bruce Tarle with a partner like Akiri and tons of artifacts. So you can have this really high-powered creature in play already when you cast Bruce Tarle. Or Silas Wren, they're in the deck together. If you go Silas Wren into Bruce Tarle, not only do you have Double Strike and Death Touch now, which is super hard to block, but you also get two triggers off of Silas Wren and can return two artifacts. So we thought a lot about, if you put these together, like, where do the big combos come up? Where are you feeling really cool for combining card A and card B and getting some big payoff? And so some of them are there to be assisted, and some of them are doing the assist more.
Hmm. Got it.
I was thinking Ishai, Ajitai Dragonspeaker, and Bruce Tarle for a Jeskai Voltron beatdown could be quite good fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm looking at this whole list of partners here, mixing and matching them, and I just scrolled over to Bruce Tarle and Ishai here next to each other, and I had the same thought. Like, yeah, you have Ishai out, and then it's just the threat of, if they don't deal with it, it could always just get Double Strike on your turn. You have this Bruce Tarle in waiting. Oh, yeah, and Lifelink.
Yeah, let's not forget the Lifelink.
Are those your favorites?
They're up there. Let's see. I really like Vile Smasher.
He's great.
Because it's such a big dream. It's a hard puzzle to pull off because, like, the first spell thing is deceptively tricky, where you can't, like, cast a ritual and then cast a really big spell. So there's some hoops you have to jump through, but it's a big payoff if you do it. I mean, casting a 7-drop and getting to hit someone for 7 free damage is huge.
I lost 14 to him the other night when someone cast a 7-drop. Stronic resonated his trigger and then rolled two random dice that both pointed at me. And I was like, oh. Yep.
That's pretty rough.
He's really good, Vile Smasher. If you're into the chaos thing as well, which I know a lot of people like doing that, especially in Commander, he's effective.
Hmm.
Yeah, wow. Vile Smasher's up there. I really like Kaideli. Just big dream, you know, trying to figure out how to really totally go off with this card. I really like building decks with engines or combos. So that was a really appealing one for me. I mean, as I said, I was the Brea deck, so I did a lot of playing Silas Wren into Bruce Tarle and buying back two really good artifacts. That was kind of my go-to.
Nice.
Yeah. The Brea goes infinite with Staff of Domination. Pretty Brea. Quickly. Not Brea, sorry. Kaideli.
Oh, Kaideli. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Really quickly goes infinite with Staff of Domination.
Is that why she was chosen as our preview card?
I really like that. I think we got objectively the most powerful partner card as our preview.
I'd probably agree with that. She's definitely up there. I think Ishai is deceptively powerful also. Like, I've seen some people online a little down on Ishai, but in our playtesting, it was really scary and gets out of hand really fast. My other pick for a couple of ones that have maybe been a little more under the radar than Kaideli, the other blue-green one, Thrasios, super strong, and Ravos also has a lot of potential. The black-white one that's an anthem and gets you a creature back every turn.
Yeah,
it's a little pricey, yeah, but it just does a lot. It has a huge impact.
I've put Ravos into my Ailey deck.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Jammed it in there. It's really good. Because I get extra life off the sacrifices as well, because of the anthem. So it's not actually a redundant effect, even though that deck doesn't really attack people.
By the way, anytime Sean brews an Orzhov or Dimir deck, there's trouble. And if he includes a card in it, that means that card is a really good card. So I do not look forward to playing it. And I wish I could, but I'm going to see the movie. So Saved by the Movie. Now, the meat of this set, though, are the four color commanders. We are sort of very limited on time here since you have a commitment in 9 minutes. But let's run through each one really quickly, if you can, if there's anything you can tell us. So there's Atraxa. We won't read the card, but this is the non-red one. What can you say about that? Do you like Infect?
I don't mind Infect. I'll say this one I like just because Proliferate has so many possibilities and so many things you can do with it, so many things you can combine with it. There have been so many counter types in Magic's history that I really like combining the aspect of you can play lots of different colors with you can play lots of different cards and synergies from Magic's past, and she works to support all of them. So I just like how much possibility there is there. Yeah.
Hmm. She's great. She's just sensational.
She's your lady, isn't she?
Yeah, I just wish she'd drop green for a red, but you know, it's a personal thing, but yeah, I'll forgive her.
Speaking of dropping green for red, Brea, who's the non-green one. Now, Sean, you had originally called this one to talk about on the podcast. Are you still willing to do that?
Yeah, when we get a podcast, I'd like to discuss this one at some detail, but she's super combo-rific. She can insta-kill people with a World Gorger Dragon and an Animate Dead by constantly looping her into play and sacrificing the Thopters she keeps making, so you bolt everyone for infinite damage. And who doesn't like to die to infinite lightning bolts? And I know we have in our playgroup we have that hard rule on infinite combos, but I think if you die to infinite lightning bolts to her, you kind of, it's a good way to die, isn't it? Lightning bolt.
There are worse ways.
Do you like the end of Return of the Jedi?
But she's great utility. I'm crafting my Sidri deck around her, but trying to cram red into my control addled mind is actually making me... She's the kind of commander... I'll summarize it easier. She's the kind of commander that if you brew her, she makes you a better deck brewer. Because she's not obvious.
Do you like the final Mace Windu scene in Revenge of the Sith?
No. I shall call you Darth Vader.
Yes, all the gravitas he deserved. Anyway.
How about Kynaeus and Tiro? Group hug, it's not black.
Yeah. I mean, this card is actually very similar to what was handed off from design.
Mm-hmm.
Parade Float Mare.
Yeah, they kind of, I mean, they kind of hit it on the head where what are the resources in Magic, mana, and cards, and this is, you know, sort of a really nice, did a nice job of capturing the essence of everyone gets to have something they have to pick, but you get both. So it's better for you, but it just, I don't know, it was handed off and it was really, it really made a lot of sense to me, and so I didn't change it very much throughout the process, and it was just always something people were having fun with.
How hard is it to cost group hug effects?
It's pretty challenging. Like, I don't think that, and this is maybe a bit controversial, but I don't think that group hug effects are satisfying even to a group hug player if they feel like they are always losing out on the exchange or always falling behind. I do think that it's good to enjoy a style of gameplay where you're helping everyone out and you're making allies, but I like when I'm in charge of making group hug cards and getting them printed to give the person who's spending the mana and who's spending the resources a little bit of extra back so that they feel good about having done it. And it's challenging to strike that balance where the group hug is both an upside for some people and their playstyle and a thing that, you know, turns other people off of like, oh, I don't ever want to give my opponent stuff. So I guess in short, it is challenging. And that's just sort of a little look into my philosophy of how I try to make them.
Yeah. No, I hate symmetrical effects, and I'm going to force myself to play this one so that I can come to know them and understand them a little bit better.
I've been looking on EDHREC at what people are brewing with Kynaeos, and I've seen quite a few nasty Bant control decks that are basically fielding this guy to exploit the red, or these guys, should I say, to exploit the red, and garner a bit of political favor at the same time. So I think, actually, these are going to be more effective than you think.
Hmm. Well, looking forward to that. What about Saskia? Unapologetically aggressive, the non-blue deck.
Yeah, that should have been the name of the pre-con, sorry.
That one was hard to get right in the sense that aggro is just hard to do in Commander, and we tried a few different things, but I'm really happy with where we ended up on this one. I think it's straightforward, you know, doubling your damage, but then giving you the added utility of being able to, you know, double your damage, but split it between two people.
Yeah.
It just is clean and does, I think, what the player who's trying to do that wants.
Did you experiment with the choice of a player being an enters the battlefield effect?
I think that's more of what we call an Uber templating matter, where there are certain types of effects like this or like a meddling mage, where if it's connected to the other ability, we like to have you choose as it enters so that there's no moment where the second ability and the first ability are disconnected.
Right.
Hmm.
And so that wasn't really a balanced decision. It was more of just a way we template cards. We did play around with whether you have to lock in a player when you cast her, or when she enters the battlefield, or if you chose a player each combat or as the creature is dealt damage. So it used to be that you could, at times, it was like when one or more creatures deals combat damage to a player, Saskia deals that much damage to target player, right? Which is functionally similar, but lets you pick a new person every turn or every combat. And we actually didn't like that. We didn't like how that just made the deck super threatening, but it was threatening to everyone, so everyone needed to kill you. Whereas this, you lock in an enemy, it felt just kind of more fun for the table overall. Even the person playing the card, even though it was a weaker card, they were having a better experience because they weren't playing her and then suddenly getting killed by everyone.
Hmm. Makes sense. Now, the one Nate has been playing with the most is Yidris, isn't it, Nate?
Yep.
And Yidris is the non-white one. What can you say about that one, Ben?
I think that one also came over from design pretty close to this version. I can't remember if it had trample or not when it was handed off. That might have been a change that we made, and we might have fiddled around with the stats too. But I'm really happy with this one. I mean, the deck is trying to embrace this chaotic gameplay, and one of the styles of chaos cards that people have enjoyed the most in Magic's history is cascade cards. And so picking that up just, you know, in a similar way to Proliferate, where we can take one keyword from Magic's history that does so much and that people like so much and say, this keyword is just great for the identity that we're trying to get across with this deck. I think it just all comes together really nicely, and it's a card I'm super happy with, and I'm really excited to build around.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Now, Nate, you have an encapsulated description of this, right? Or an observation?
Oh, yeah. I try to make him an unblockable double strike Voltron, and then he drops a bomb on the second main.
Did you guys anticipate that?
Making him unblockable in Double Strike?
Yeah. I mean, you must have played around with that a little bit.
I mean, a little. We knew that, like, any combat damage trigger can sort of get out of hand with that. But that's the kind of mixing and matching that we really... I mean, that I think makes Magic great.
Yeah.
Just, like, I would never want us to close all the loopholes. And, you know, I'm always... Even as someone who's trying to balance the game primarily, I'm always a little sad when we do have to say accept this or non-ooze or non-token. Sometimes we need to do it because we're trying to make a card that's at the right power level that we think will be the most fun, but where we can, I like to leave those loopholes open and let people do their Double Strike unblockable Yidris.
All right.
Yeah.
So there's a player in my paper meta that's super happy about this card because he's been asking for ages if he can play with Maelstrom Archangel as a proxy commander, despite it being non-legendary. And now he can kind of do it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a great deck.
Well, until we cover Yidris, you should make sure to point them to Commander's Brew.
Okay. Yeah.
Because whoever that is in your meta will get plenty of ideas.
That's Listener Pete.
Listener Pete?
Yeah. Listener Pete.
Listener Pete.
Who was the originator of the Kill Pete First rule? Well, sorry, was the inspiration behind the Kill Pete First
clearly,
rule.
Clearly.
Which turned into Kill Sean First, you bastards.
Well, when Pete, else Sean. So we have a segment, Ben, that we call The Watch List. And it's a segment where we usually highlight a card that's kind of problematic. And this time, though, we were going to do a special two-part, a very special watch list that I think we'll have to save for the next time we have you on. Now, you were the lead developer for Aether Revolt, right? Or Aether Revolt?
Yep, that was me.
So would you be happy to come on the show when Aether Revolt gets released and we'll come talk about both this and we'll do that special watch list?
Yeah, that sounds great. I'd be happy to do that. That sounds right. A little scary, but I'm up for the ribbing and challenge.
We have a very special format given to us by Patron Jackie Miller.
The First Lady of Commander.
Yes, absolutely. Where she suggested maybe instead of talking about certain cards, Leovold, Deep Glowscape,
Prophet of Crucifix,
then we would talk about something that ties all of them together.
Yeah, Ben, very quickly before you go, you have stood in front of a jury of your peers and been accused of designing the card Prophet of Crucifix. How do you plead?
So... No, I didn't design Prophet of Crucifix. I had a
not
big hand.
Guilty.
I had a big hand in designing the card Crucifix, God of Horizons, and I was really excited about it. So I bragged about it a little bit on, you know, Facebook and other places that I can post this kind of stuff. But somehow it came around full circle into the word Crucifix no longer became associated with that card. Became associated with Prophet of Crucifix, and then one day people thought that I had designed Prophet of Crucifix, and so this is... I must have heard that I'm the one who designed Prophet of Crucifix at least 10 times now, and it really wasn't me. I just like storing up your mana and having no maximum hand size and devotion to blue and green. And...
I'm pretty sure that the two people that told us you did it were your colleagues, Sean Payne and Ethan Fleischer. So they might be propagating this lie.
Mm-hmm.
You might need to have a
proliferating
word.
Proliferating the lie.
Indeed.
Yeah,
expropriating,
I mean,
the lie. Was that you?
Expropriate? That might have been me, actually.
Right, that's going on the list.
That's awesome. Ben, you've been such a good sport for coming on and being willing to be teased like this.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love talking about the work. And yeah, I mean, it's like I said at the top, even after 4 years, it's still a dream job. So I just feel lucky anytime I get to do anything like this and talk about it and do anything with it, really.
Hmm. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable when you look back to 5 years ago and try to imagine somebody telling you, you're going to be a lead designer. You're going to be a senior game designer and a lead developer for Magic sets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely surreal.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Ben, we have a lot more questions, but only a few more seconds, and we're down to seconds. So is there a way for people to get in touch with you, read your musings about Magic, Commander, or otherwise?
So I do sometimes post on our MTG developers blog. And if you ask questions there, especially if you call me out specifically in the question, and I see it and I have time, I can try to answer stuff over there. I write articles for Daily MTG whenever a product that I worked on comes out. And I'm also on Twitter at Ben, the letter B, then Hayes, just like my last name. And I'm pretty responsive on there. If you ask me a question that I'm allowed to answer, I'll typically answer it with a, you know, big emphasis on allowed to answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on the show. We've really appreciated it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, this is above and beyond. Thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, this was, I know it's hard for you to tell, but this was an excellent show.
Actually, like the four Wizards guys we've had, yourself, Ethan and Sean on,
and Sam Stoddard.
You've all warm and candid and very open talking about your work and how it happens, and quite the opposite of my experience of work talking to developers from other games companies. So, Wizards, you have got a good team going on with you guys.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
So, guys, we have this contest, and we're getting one of each deck. And the outside, the box, will be signed by both Ethan Fleischer and Ben Hayes. Plus, we're getting an entire set. This is so difficult to give away, guys. So difficult. An entire set in the outside of each deck, and that one will be signed by Ethan and Ben as well. And that means we have six prizes. We'll give away one deck, each signed, and then we're going to give away the entire set signed as well.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible. And we're going to select listeners randomly from people who either gave us a 5-star ratings on iTunes, or if we can figure out how to do this on Android devices and services, we'll do that as well. Twitter followers who retweet the announcement of the show are also going to be entered automatically, and Facebook likers who share the announcement of the show. And, of course, we're going to make sure that each of our patrons is entered into the contest more or less by default. I think they're going to have to write to us to let us know in order to enter. So if you're a patron, write to cast@commanderandmtg.com and let us know that you want in on this contest. Once you win one of those, like once we select you for one of those prizes, you can't win again, sorry. And we'll be picking this when we record on either the 30th of November or the 1st of December. So that's Wednesday the 30th or Thursday the 1st. And again, anyone can enter, and we're going to be shipping it to anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
Yep.
Paid for by our patrons.
Actually, depending on what, like if somebody wins the big prize, and this goes to somewhere in, let's say, Australia. There isn't enough left over in the patron accounts after editing to pay for the shipping to that. But we'll do it anyway. It's a way for us to say thank you to the listeners. And, of course, we have to thank Ben Hayes and Ethan Fleischer for coming on the show, making this possible. Thank you, Kayla. I'm not sure you'll ever hear this on the show, but you have our gratitude. Do, 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 do. Contest over.
Do we want to give away my custom full art Atraxa?
Oh, God, we do.
I've still got it. The one I scribbled on a piece of paper.
I know.
That has a Japanese random Japanese shadows over Innistrad card stock behind it, a red one, just to be ironic.
I saw that.
And we'll give that away as well.
As soon as I saw the red card, I was like, oh, that's Sean. It was hilarious.
If you were wondering if that was intentional, it was.
I looked at it, I'm like, that is not an accident. That's awesome. When do you want to give that away and how?
Okay, I want people to... Okay, quick other contest, listen. We'll do it next time. I'll record next time. But I think people should do their own custom but version in a similar style of their favorite card.
Ah,
post excellent. It or tweet it to us, and I'll pick my favorite. And I'll pay for the shipping on that one.
And we'll start the... You want to do that formally next show, or are we including that?
Yeah, I'll do it in the next show. Sorry, the idea just came to me.
That's hilarious, dude.
I like stupid like that.
All right. Wow, guys, that was a great show. Thanks for tuning in and hanging out with us, everybody. If you want to support the podcast for all the good things we put in your ears, head over to patreon.com/commander@mtg and give us a buck a show. And if you donate $10 or more per episode, like we said earlier, you can come join the chat community we host over on Facebook. Or you can just give us a 5-star review on iTunes. This is modal, and you have to choose one of those. So we'll wait. If it's not obvious by now, we absolutely love our listeners, and we're incredibly grateful to all of the patrons. So come get your gratitude and influence over the show, exactly like Jackie Miller. Thank you, though, for your suggestion about the special watch list, and by now you've heard that we had to put it off to a later show. But we're going to have Ben on again, and it's not like those cards are going away. And in fact, they're only going to get more infamous. And also, new patron, Trevor Lindau. Sorry if I've mispronounced that. And speaking of new patrons and mispronunciations, Graham Saulnier. It's probably Saulnier. It could be Saulnier if he's French or from the Louisiana Purchase.
Oh, it's Saulnier.
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 Yeah.
Graham Saulnier.
And there are ways to get that as your very own phone answering message. All right. Man, this was great.
Anything for $20. Anything.
Anything for $20. Our theme song was created for the podcast by Mr. Nate Burgess. I don't know if you heard it, Sean, but Nate did a song on Commander's Brew this week.
I did hear it. Everyone, I'm not going to spoil it. Everyone go and listen to episode 68 of the Commander's Brew. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's a great show to begin with. And with Nate on it, this episode is sublime. It's beautiful. Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto, who can be found at mrpicto.co.uk with assistance from my wife, Kelly. She made those brand new logos, the mana symbols on the bottom of our logo. Special thanks to the tech whizzes Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his server space. You can reach us by going over to our website, commanderandmtg.com. Our email is cast@commanderandmtg.com. You can find us on all the social media, including and especially YouTube, by searching for Commander and MTG Podcast. And individually, what the hell has happened here?
I'm at Mr. Plorg.
What the hell's going on? I'm at Copain 26.
And I'm at Ketchak. Someone's got to sing it.
Ben, even though you've gone mysteriously from the ether, take us out.
And that's our show.
Excellent. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Go Mandarin!
Today we will close out with a new and rare segment that will be produced when needed. It's Nate's Maths Time! Many Magic the Gathering players ask the question, if I have five colors of magic, how many non-repeating three-color combinations are there? Or another question, if I have 15 partners, how many non-repeating two-partner combinations are there? We can answer both these questions using the binomial coefficient. First, let's learn what a factorial means. Factorial is when we take a number, we count down all the way to 1 and multiply all those numbers together. For example, 5 factorial means 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1, which equals 120. We signify factorial by putting an exclamation point after a number, so it looks like we are shouting our maths! If we want to know, out of 5 colors, how many 3-color combinations we can choose, we take our first number and make it factorial. Then we divide that by our second number, also made factorial. And we divide all that again by the difference between the two numbers, also made factorial. This is the binomial coefficient! For example, if we have 5 colors, and we are choosing 3 out of those 5 colors, we take 5 factorial divided by 3 factorial and divided by 2 factorial, since 5 minus 3 is 2. Now, before we start multiplying out our factorials all willy-nilly, some of these numbers cancel each other out by division. 5 factorial divided by 3 factorial cancels out the 3 times 2 times 1, since that is part of 5 factorial and part of 3 factorial. This leaves just 5 times 4. Then we divide that by 2 factorial to get 5 times 2, for our final result of 10 non-repeating 3-color combinations out of 5 colors. Let's try a different example. How many non-repeating 2-partner combinations are possible from a set of 15 partners? If we have 15 partners and we choose 2 of them, that's 15 factorial divided by 2 factorial and divided by 15 minus 2 factorial, also known as 13 factorial. 15 factorial divided by 13 factorial leaves just 15 times 14, then divided by 2 factorial leaves 15 times 7, for our final result of 105 unique 2-partner combinations. We hope this has helped you answer your Magic the Gathering related maths questions. If you want to support this channel, visit our Patreon at patreon.com/commanderinmtg. If you want to hear more explanations like this one, but without the math, and done by someone else entirely, visit Tolarian Community College on YouTube and watch some videos there.